especially to talk baseball.
Absolutely. And we've got Glenn Williams on the line. Good morning to you, Glenn. How are you going?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. To you and everyone.
That's okay. And up in Sydney at the moment, but heading to the Gold Coast fairly soon, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Heading up to the Gold Coast tonight and then Brisbane tomorrow. We have an MLB event. It's our first MLB showcase event across the country for players 13 and 14 years old. So, yeah, excited to kick it off in Brisbane tomorrow. And Baseball Queensland have done a lot of hard work to be able to get it up and running. So first one across the country and, first of the kind. So, yeah, really excited to get up there and see how it all goes.
Now, you're the high-performance manager. I think that's the official term for Baseball Australia. And you're looking after the academy, and we'll talk a little bit about that soon. But when you actually start the Hunter End, you're born in Gosford and play a lot of baseball in Sydney area, and then what? Age of 16, picked up by Atlanta.
One of the fortunate ones to be able to get the chance to grow up, quite dreaming of being a professional baseball player, and my dad played and in around the game, you know, for as long as I can remember. So, fortunate to get the chance to go over at 16 years old and, teenager and bulletproof and knew everything. So, ready to go over there and a little bit of a rude shock when you first get over there. And it was definitely a battle, but, enjoyed playing over there for 15 years and provided some excellent opportunities, met some great people and, learnt plenty when I was over there for sure.
I reckon that there's a lesson. We've been talking to a few guys who have done the rounds of the minors in recent weeks, and I think yours is a similar one because you probably had about 10 years in the minors before you went over to the Twins and got your major league debut. But that's about right time frame, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It turned out to be 11 and a half, so it was every bit of it, I can tell you that much. So, it's one thing that, you head over there and obviously, there's average timelines that, you see other guys that you're competing with, especially, if you head over there and, like a lot of the other Australian players did around that era at 16, that, you're 4 years kind of behind some of the guys that are entering anyway. So, their projected timelines are, 4 to 5 years, and, then you add the 4 years to catch up to them. It was probably more realistic for me to reach at that age, but definitely it was a long time, and it's probably longer than I expected it to be or wanted it to be, but it is what it is, and I think that it was something that grounded me enough to make sure that I really, once I got there, I definitely appreciated the opportunity to play in the major leagues, and that's what I left the country for in the first place, and proud of the fact that I got a chance to do it, but probably more so proud of the fact that I was persistent enough and determined enough to be able to stick it out and get there in the end.
Yeah, Glenn, Rob Bowen here. As Neil's led into, we've been talking about this, with a couple of players that have been overseas, for a period of time playing in the minors and not quite making it. And there's been now other kids sort of going over playing the college ball, going through that system there. What would be the recommended path nowadays, 16, 17 years of age, you get somebody to come down and tap you on the shoulder sort of thing. What sort of path would you be taking nowadays?
It's probably case by case. So obviously the college pathway, there's more opportunities just because there's more schools available across the country. There's, schools at a whole different, set of levels and everything like that. So, we've seen players like Cam Warner at TCU, Robbie Glendening at Missouri, which are two pretty good NCAA Division I schools, but both of those guys went through the junior college pathway, which, is generally, I guess the most popular path for players coming out of Australia. So, the important thing for, young players to remember, and it's all case by case, is, that going to college baseball is about furthering your education and getting an opportunity to be able to play competitive baseball. So it's not just, I didn't get signed professionally, I've got nothing better to do, so I'm going to get on the plane and go and play in college, because, there's obviously some, even though there's scholarships available, there's some expenses that go along with it. So, generally, just like if you were to go to university here in Australia, it will cost you money, and you may not have to pay up front, but you got to, in the US, you got to kind of pay up front and pay right away. So there's some costs associated with it, and it's definitely a really good baseball pathway for the kids that are suitable to college and want to further their education. But you know, there's some players who, you know, simply don't want to further their education. They just want to go and play, and, you know, they'll take the opportunity that's given to them in professional baseball. So it's probably case by case. Some parents and some players really, really, you know, value education and want to make sure that they set themselves up for the future in case professional baseball doesn't work out for them. And then others just want to get on with it, have the opportunity and have a crack at professional baseball. If it doesn't work out, pick up the pieces when it gets done. So, yeah, it comes down to personal preference. But, you know, the good thing for, you know, us is that the pathway of college baseball has become way more popular. You know, like from a pure baseball development perspective, you know, players going from, you know, a club ball situation or a national championships or an MLB, AAP, or even getting time, a little bit of time in the ABL to go straight into professional baseball and face the best young players from all over the world is a huge step up. So, you know, we saw that with our college showcase trip and our MLB trips there. We're facing every day the entry level of professional baseball, and there's players that are sitting 95, 96 miles an hour, one after the other, after the other. So it's a huge adjustment and you know, not to kind of downgrade junior college or college baseball, but, you know, it probably fits, you know, especially in junior college, it fits a level above, you know, probably potentially what they're playing here in Australia, but then below what they would face. You know, then the advantage of working through that system and then young blokes like Cam and Robbie Glendening, who were just drafted and playing at a high level at NCAA Division I college, to go into professional baseball. They've probably competed at a level, you know, similar to what they're going to go into at professional baseball for the last two years or so, which is probably a huge advantage for those guys starting their pro careers.
Let's just focus on the academy for a little while. That's based at Service Paradise, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So 16th year of the program up there. So it was at Palm Meadows originally, and then, you know, we shifted over to the Surfers Paradise Baseball Club, and they've got excellent facilities over there and are excellent hosts for us. So, yeah, it's an excellent program, you know, for us to go, you know, get all of our young kids up there and playing against each other. And, you know, it's been adjusted this year. It's shorter than it generally has been. So when it initially went out there and there was international players coming in from all over the place, it was about 8 weeks long and you know, kind of a bona fide, you know, like season for, you know, young kids to really aspire to. And, you know, MLB kind of spread those programs around the world. So it's generally Australian players. We have 4 players from New Zealand coming in this year. We have 2 players from China. And there's 51 players coming in from around the country here to be able to go out there and yeah, apply their trade every day and get the opportunity to be able to work with, you know, some of the best staff that we have, you know, in Australia, the likes of, you know, John Deeble and David Nielsen, Tony Harris, Phil Dale, Damien Shanahan, Jason Pospisil, Luke Prokopek, Graham Lloyd, the list goes on. So there's some, you know, really outstanding coaches we have there. We'll have the guys coming in from Driveline Baseball at Seattle, Washington again for, you know, 4 or 5 days to work with the players, to work with the high-performance managers around the country to be able to kind of set programming for the next 12 months or so. Yeah, so it's a real chance for us to have access to the kids every day for an extended period of time. And, you know, although we'd love to be able to have it a little bit longer, we've also got the advantage of Major League Baseball committing to, you know, they took 13 players to Major League to spring training in the US in April and look to be getting confirmation shortly, but look to be doing the same for the college showcase again in October like we did last year. So combination of having our best players in the one spot for, you know, kind of 9 or 10 days plus providing opportunities, and it'll probably work out to, you know, another 10 to 12 players potentially in October going and showcasing themselves in front of college scouts and, you know, professional teams and playing against, you know, some junior colleges. It's a really good competition. So, yeah, we're really excited and, you know, MLB have been amazing supporters of baseball in Australia for a long, long time and continue to work with us. And, you know, we've got a great relationship with Giovanni Hernandez, Chris Haydock, Kim Ng over in the MLB offices, and extremely supportive of Australian baseball, which we're appreciative of. And, you know, we'll continue to work with them and continue to kind of adjust programs to make sure that we're doing, you know, what's needed to develop players here in Australia and give them opportunities.
Good morning, Glenn. Phil Bertrand here. As a former state junior coach in Victoria, I've quite regularly raise my eyebrows at some of the players who have been selected to go to the academy over the years, and equally raise my eyebrows at some of the ones who haven't been selected to go to the academy. Can you run us through what the actual selection process for the players who go each year is?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a process where, you know, like obviously it's a difficult one with so many talented players from across the country, and it's quite extensive on, you know, like how it's selected. So the initial, you know, thing that we do is get recommendations from, you know, the state association and you know, some of the high performance managers around the country on players to, you know, kind of look out for at the national championships in January. We pass those lists on to, you know, a whole host of you know, professional scouts who, you know, are in and around the area and get paid by professional clubs to be able to evaluate talent and, you know, like try and pick the guys that are best suited to professional baseball for their club. They put their lists in and they put their recommendations in. Those lists are, you know, kind of passed back to the states to make sure that, you know, everyone is accounted for and everyone's been seen. And then the schoolboys tournament is probably one of the last, you know, kind of testing grounds, I suppose, for players, obviously, between January and, you know, May when it happens, the players can get a lot better and have potential injuries in January and all of those kind of things there. So they're probably the major processes that we work on there, you know, and then it gets passed back to a group of national selectors from, you know, MLB, AAP, you know, involved on the coaching staff there, involved in national programs, involved with professional clubs. So, you know, the MLB, AAP is, you know, it's kind of it's a difficult one. If it's, you know, purely based on national teams, we're looking at players that can, you know, play and win right now for our national team. You know, like it's based on performance, and, you know, there's often players who, you know, might have a really good nationals and, you know, like hit really well and have a good batting average, but, you know, there might be a player selected over them that the professional scouts might perceive or think that their upside is better, that they have more potential to be a professional player down the track. So, there's, you know, it's often some conjecture around selections. It's never, ever easy. And, you know, there's a lot of time and effort taken to make sure that that the players that are at the academy are suitable to, you know, what the program's set up for.
That's an interesting point, isn't it? Because just because a kid doesn't get to go up there this year in the under-18s doesn't mean that the door is closed. There's lots of pathways and there's lots of people keeping their eyes out, aren't there, for talent?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like it's similar to the spring training trip and similar to the college showcase trip. So, you know, there was players that potentially didn't have great performances right away at the college in the national championship. That you know, potentially aren't as polished or aren't as advanced players right away. But, you know, they may have a professional tool that one of the professional scouts, you know, says this guy's got a great fastball, and, you know, someone can, you know, like pitch at 90 or 90 plus. Then, you know, that's something that professional teams are really looking for. They're looking for power arms of guys that can throw hard. So, you know, might be able to throw 90 miles an hour, might not be able to throw a strike right now, but if everything comes together, then you're showing the, you know, the potential of being a professional player. Whereas the college trip is more so showcasing to college teams who, again, want more of a finished product when they turn up in, you know, August of, you know, 2018 or whatever. So, you know, that is probably more, you know, based on performance and players are a little bit more polished. So, you know, the two programs, although they're very similar in their nature of wanting to showcase the talent for baseball, and that professionals and colleges come and look at both things, that, you know, the spring trip is probably more targeted towards potential professional players, where the trip in October is more, you know, towards players who are ready to go to college right away. So, yeah, it's always difficult trying to find the mix there. You know, obviously, these programs are very popular and well thought out by the players and parents, which, I mean, for us, it's a good sign because it means that they're exciting opportunities and they're good opportunities for them. But, you know, understandably, people are disappointed when they miss out. And, you know, we take into consideration everyone there and, you know, try and match the players with the programs best we can.
Glenn, looking through the list, there's a couple of kids that have already signed, one of them, Matt Beattie from Victoria. Who would you suggest in this list of players going this year are most likely to sign next?
It's always difficult to tell, and I think that the conversation we had before about college has really sparked things. So, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, it was open-ended for professional teams to be able to spend money internationally. So, you know, as an example, some of the richer teams are spending, you know, upwards of $10 or $15 million on international free agent signings, and some of the other teams are spending, you know, $1 million to $2 million. So Major League Baseball put rules in place to where, you know, there's limits on what teams can spend now internationally, which in turn, you know, in combination to that, you know, places like Cuba have opened up, you know, Czech Republic, Italy, the Netherlands, you know, all over the country and all over the world, sorry, there's, you know, players everywhere. So, you know, more players available with less money to be able to spend, the competition to be able to get professionally, to sign professionally is, you know, like kind of, you know, gone way up. So, you know, the college pathway is something that our players are really heavily considering. So, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when it was open-ended, there was a bunch of guys who, you know, were ready to sign, and it's not to say that, you know, we potentially would have, you know, like 8 to 10 players that, you know, if it was 7 or 8 years ago that would look to be, you know, getting signed right now, you know, potentially. But, you know, with college there, the players are, you know, very keen on that college pathway and looking at that as an option. So it's really difficult to be able to tell. Obviously, there's some significant interest around several players that are going to the camp, but, you know, as professional, you know, scouts do in their living, they're, you know, taking notes and they're, you know, putting their list together, and then they're following up, you know, like in, you know, the state programs, and then they're following up again at the academy, and then they get the nationals. So, you know, there's potentially, you know, like it might be, you know, 3 or 4 players. It may be just one right now, but, you know, maybe further down the track. And, you know, like the one thing for sure is that there'll be plenty of players throughout that academy that will be heading off to college. So the exciting thing for us is, you know, we've got some guys that will potentially sign, but we've also, we've got 2 professionals there in Matt Beattie and Jack O'Loughlin, but we've also got a couple of guys that have committed to colleges already, who'll be heading to college at the back end of the academy. And, you know, like if they make the Australian team that goes to Thunder Bay, they'll join us there. And if they don't, then they'll just go off to college and start their college careers. So, yeah, there's plenty of opportunities. It's really exciting to think that, you know, these young blokes are, you know, working their backsides off to prepare for, you know, several events. There's opportunities for them to play on national teams, you know, if they suit that club and they make that club. But, you know, if not, they're heading off to, you know, kind of start their dream of playing in college baseball. It's amazing.
Jeez.
One final question from me, Glenn. Do you think our players sign too young? Those who go straight to professional baseball.
Yeah, look, that's a difficult one, and again, probably case by case. So, you know, if you have a look at, you know, some of the players who signed young and headed over there, you know, like you would argue that Lachlan Wells and Lewis Thorpe and Zach Shepherd and Aaron Whitefield potentially, you know, signing at, you know, 16, 17 and heading over to the US, you know, like the success they've had, that's perfect timing for them. And then others that have signed young that have gone over and, you know, not had the opportunity to be able to play and not been able to adjust as quickly. You know, like it's really difficult. You know, like the numbers and the overall numbers would say that, you know, for Australian players, the adjustment is huge, especially for position players to go from, you know, and you know, realistically, you know, to go from facing, you know, like fastball velocity in, you know, the low to mid 80s, you know, like, and if they're at, that's probably at the national championships at the MLBAAP, it's probably a tick higher. But, you know, to try and adjust to a 10-mile-an-hour fastball higher, you know, when you get off the plane in Florida or Arizona in the GCL is a really, really difficult task. So, yeah, it's probably a case-by-case thing. It's definitely, it's not easy. And one of the things that we try and illustrate to the kids is that, you know, ultimately it's their choice. There's a lot of information there to be able to have a look at. There's a lot of history on, you know, how young Australian players have gone when they first gotten over there. There's a lot of success stories, but there's a heck of a lot of, you know, non-success stories, I suppose. So, you know, but really being 100% clear that, you know, just because you do well at a national championships, that you hit well at a MLBAAP, doesn't mean that you're going to get off the plane and go to the GCL because do well in professional baseball right away, because the levels are, you know, exponentially higher when you get over there, and it's way more difficult to do that than it is to play here. So, yeah, that's the information there. The great thing is that the college pathway is there for our players, and an excellent, you know, kind of proving ground for them. There's some players that have been, you know, like I was mentioning before, traditionally would have potentially signed professionally, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, that have gone to junior colleges in this last year. They were players on our 18 and under national team the last time we went away in 2015 and came fourth. And, you know, they're having, you know, stellar seasons in their respective junior colleges in Texas. I won't mention their names, but, you know, already I've got NCAA schools contacting me and saying, hey, these guys are Australians. I saw that they're doing really, really well in these schools in Texas. You know, can we get in contact with them? What are your thoughts on them? And all those kind of things. So, you know, like it's probably more of a delay process, but one would think that these guys may end up in professional baseball, but they'll end up in professional baseball with 3 or 4 years experience under their belt against a similar competition, which, you know, probably lends itself to giving them more success when they do hit the ground.
Absolutely, Glenn. It's been fantastic. We're going to have to let you go now, mate, but it's been fantastic chatting with you, the high performance manager from the academy, and we're going to have, I think, 10 Victorians amongst the 50-plus who are there between the 28th of July and the 6th of August. So we wish everyone the best of luck, and I'm sure you'll look after the young fellas when they're under your care.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to get it going and you know, continue that tradition of looking after the kids and giving them a great experience. So I appreciate the time this morning, guys. Thank you.
Good on you,
Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. It's great.
Thanks, Glenn. Great. Cheers.